Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, praise God. As you grab your seat, go ahead and get your Bibles out. Go with me to the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Really neat section of scripture. We're going to resume our line upon line, precept upon precept study of the book of Hebrews, picking off exactly where we were yesterday, or last week, I should say. And I'm excited for what God's got in store. I know this is going to be a great message. The title of this morning is simply this: Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. Now, if you were with us last week, you know that we talked about access to God, that we have boldness. We learned that boldness is not arrogance, but confidence, assurance. So we have assurance in going before the presence of God. We learned the week prior to that, that we have a calling to be bold in our lives, and some things that hinder our lives as bold Christians, and things that we can do to be bold. And so today, with that idea in mind, I want to take some things, I want to show you some things that as I was teaching last week about the access that we have to the throne of God, to the presence of God, some things that the Holy Spirit imparted upon my heart to teach us, the church, some things that we need to understand about following the leader. So let me take you there to Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse number 19, again, where we were. We're going to look at the same portion of scripture that we've been there for a couple of weeks, but I want to point something out to you today. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 19, it says, Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Very important that it's the blood of Jesus. You'll see as we progress through the scriptures today that it's the blood of Jesus that washes us. It's that sacrifice. So we have boldness to access the holiest, or the presence, the most holy place where God himself dwells, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 20 goes on and it tells us, by a new and living way. What an amazing statement. We'll get there in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure, as we discuss the book of Hebrews. But it says, by which he, speaking of Jesus consecrated us, or washed us, cleansed us through the veil. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to do something. If you've got a Bible and a pen or a marker or a highlighter, I want you to highlight, underline, or just make that through the veil statement stick out, because you're going to see some very interesting and important truths today as we discuss that. So Jesus consecrated us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now verse number 21 goes on and it says, having a high priest, Jesus Christ. We've discussed this over the months. Jesus is our high priest. He's our representative. He's our ambassador. He's our mediator. He's the one that is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and I, pleading on our behalf to God the Father. Jesus is now there, a high priest over the house of God. And verse number 22 tells us now to, with full assurance, draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So here what we're seeing is that it's the access we have. We have the ability to draw near. As we discussed last week, the presence of God was something that men would typically walk away from. You see, going into the holiest place where God dwelt was a place of reverence, a place of fear, that you only went if you were the high priest, and you only went once a year. You could not go unless you went through each of the steps and the processes that God had set before. It was a place of tremendous reverence. And so here men typically would draw away when we saw that God had ascended upon or descended upon the Mount Zion, that the people said, Moses, you speak to us. We can't even hear from God. But now we see that we have boldness and assurance to go into the presence of God, to draw near to God, because it was Jesus who first went before us. It was by the blood of Jesus. It was by the consecration of Jesus. It was because a new and living way Jesus had brought forth to us, that he is our high priest, our mediator, our ambassador. So it is now Jesus who we follow into the throne room of God. You may have heard the statement before, but there's a statement that oftentimes you hear is, there are many ways to skin a cat. Anybody ever heard that before? I have no clue where that statement actually came from. Some of you cat lovers, I know you're thinking, man, I hate that statement. I detest that statement. Some of you who don't like cats, you say, I have no problems with that statement. The thing is that there may be many ways to skin a cat, but there is only one way into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. You see, it's human nature for you and I to try to find a way around the obstacle. That's why we have statements like that. If you're a parent, you ever have a child, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because your child might come to you and say, hey, can I have a cookie, or can I have chocolate, or can I have this? And you know what's best for them, so you say no. Well, what happens right after that? They go to mom, or they go to dad, or they go to grandma and grandpa, or they'll try to go around you to get what they want. But you see, the thing is that you and I cannot access the presence of God, the holiest place of God, the separation between righteous God and sinful man on our own. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, Jesus himself says this in John, the 14th chapter. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He says here, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, look to your neighbor and say, no one. No one goes to the Father except through me. Now, do you remember on Hebrews, I had you highlight or circle or underline through the veil. You see, if you recall, the veil was the thick curtain that was made by man that separated the holiest from the holy place to the holy of holies or the most holy place. It was a place that was a separation between the presence of righteous God and sinful man. Only one person could pass through that veil one day a year, the high priest only. So now it says, no one can go to the Father except through me. And Hebrews tells us that we have access, boldness to go into the holiest, the presence of God Almighty, with full assurance of faith to draw near. Why? Because Jesus Christ, through his flesh, the veil, now you and I enter the presence of God. The physical cloth was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And now he has replaced that veil, and now it is him, the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ, that we pass through as we follow the leader into the presence of God. Let me say it like this. Jesus brought us to a place of exclusive access because we are united with him. There was a time before Pastor Eddie, who is now the senior pastor of the Rock Church of Coachella Valley, when he was here. For those of you, many of you know, but for those of you that don't know, Pastor Eddie is a two-time world champion skateboarder, and he was our youth pastor. And there was a time when everybody knows who Pastor Eddie is in the skateboarding world, because he mentored a lot of the guys that are real big, the big names now. And we were having church, and Pastor Eddie got a phone call from Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk is one of the biggest names in skateboarding history. And Tony Hawk called Pastor Eddie and says, hey, man, we got this arena tour that we're going all around the United States with a bunch of guys on skateboards, with a bunch of guys on BMX, with a bunch of guys on motorcycles, and we have this tour where we're going to be skating, we're going to be doing these ramps with the bikes and the BMXing, and at the same time, we're going to have motorcycles and everything's going to be jumping over. It's all this choreographed show or spectacle of extreme sports. And he says, we're right here in San Bernardino, practicing at the airport in one of the hangars. They had their entire arena tour set up, the big ramps and the loops and all the things and the TV crew. And he says, come check us out. So Pastor Eddie says to me and a couple of the younger guys, hey, come with me. So we went. We drove up to San Bernardino Airport, and we drove through the security checkpoints. And there at the hangar door, there was a big security guard. As the security guard says, you know, who are you guys? And he says, well, my name's Eddie Algieri. He says, oh, okay, cool. He opens up the door, says, come on in. And in there was the ramp and the loop and all these guys, and they're doing their practicing. The TV crews are there. There's the security teams walking around. They've got the lights and the smoke and the pyrotechnics all going off. It's a dress rehearsal for this show that they're going to go nationally take around. And as we're going about, we had full access to anywhere we wanted to go. So we're walking, we're following with Pastor Eddie. All of a sudden, all these big names start seeing Pastor Eddie, Tony Hawk and Bob Burnquist and all these guys. Hey, 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 there's Eddie. So they all come, and there's this big circle of all these big athletes in the extreme sports world. And they're talking to Pastor Eddie. And there we are discussing in this circle with these guys. You know, when we walked up to that hangar, the security guard didn't ask me what my name was. He didn't say, oh, your name's Luke? Oh, cool, come on in, man, right on, yeah, come on. Tony Hawk didn't see me and say, hey, he didn't call me up and say, hey, come check me out. Come hang out with us tonight. Why? Because I wasn't given the access. I wasn't given the invitation. Pastor Eddie was, and because we followed Pastor Eddie, because we were with him, we were given access just as though we were him. We were able to walk around. We were able to participate in the conversation, to introduce ourselves and to meet these guys. It was a really neat opportunity. Why? Because Pastor Eddie said, hey, it's okay, these guys are with me. You see, you and I have access to the throne of God. You and I have faith. You and I have assurance. You and I have boldness in our lives. Why? Not because of something that we did, but because Jesus Christ has gone first before us. He tore the veil, and he says now at the throne room of God, he says, hey, it's okay, they're with me. And now we have that assurance to be in the presence of God. So today I want to talk about the followers of Christ and being a follower of Christ. Now, we talked about that today, and I have decided to follow Jesus. We sang that song. But what I want to do is I don't want to just say, oh, we need to be followers of Christ. I want to look at some characteristics of followers of Christ. And some of these characteristics, they won't necessarily be the amen, hoot and holler, and hallelujah. They might be more of an oh me or oh my characteristic. But I promise by the end of the message, you will be encouraged, you will be strengthened, you'll be lifted up, because these are some characteristics that you and I, as followers of Christ, need to have in our life. So today we're going to look at some of the characteristics of followers as we learn to follow the leader, Jesus, who has gone before us. Okay, are you guys with me today? Right on. Today we're taking a look at the life of a follower, or followers of Jesus, and we'll complete that statement. Followers of Jesus, we'll complete that statement four times today. Followers of Jesus, number one for this morning, leave all behind. Followers of Jesus, leave all behind. You see, when we come into a new life with Jesus Christ, the Bible describes us as new creations. Paul goes on and he says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So literally, when we are followers, or when we become followers of Christ, what is happening to you and I is our old person, our old personality, who we once were, literally dies. And now we are a new creation. So sometimes we say, man, Pastor Luke, I don't feel like a new creation. Pastor Luke, I don't feel like there's any difference in me. But let me tell you something. When we are followers of Christ, and when we leave ourselves behind and we go forward for Christ, that is when the new creation begins to start in us. You think of it like this. If the Bible refers to us as our old man as being dead, it's buried in the ground. I don't know about any of you in this place, but I know that none of us would want to go to a cemetery today and start digging up dead people. Why? Because after a couple of days, the person who's dead starts to smell, right? A couple of weeks, starts to decay. After a couple of years, it's just not a pretty story. So why would we, if we're following Jesus, why would we want to turn back and try to dig up that which is dead, that which is decaying, that which is rotting? But we have got to leave ourselves behind and follow Jesus Christ. It's really easy for us to leave that which we don't like behind. Well, God, I'm going to leave my anger behind. God, I'm going to leave my alcohol behind. God, I'm going to leave my past and the things that I'm ashamed of behind. But what about the things that we like about ourselves? Well, God, I feel like I'm smart. I feel like I'm talented. I feel like this is me, or this is my personality. But you see, we have got to learn to leave all behind, because it is no longer us, but is now God inside of us. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle says in Galatians, I'll just put it up on the overhead. Galatians in the second chapter, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, which means I am now dead. It is no longer I, myself, Paul, who's saying this. It is no longer Luke Cobre who lives, but now it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm still alive physically, but it's no longer who I once was. Now I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul goes on and he starts to discuss in Philippians, the third chapter. He starts to talk about, if there's anybody who has a reason to brag, it's me. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was taught with the greatest of teachers. I was given everything in my life. He says, I've got a reason to brag. But Paul says, I count it all as waste, because that is no longer who I am. That is all garbage to me now, because that was who I once was. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how low or how high you are on the economic status of this world. As followers of Christ, you and I have got to learn to leave it all behind and now accept our new identity in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the one or two. That's all right. I know. You're like, man. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that Jesus sees some men fishing. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, he sees a man by the name of Peter and his brother Andrew. And he says to Peter and Andrew, hey, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on, he sees another group of brothers, a man by the name of James, a man by the name of John with their father Zebedee in a fishing boat. And he says, hey, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says immediately they left their nets and their father and got out of the boat and followed Jesus. Why? They left everything that was about them behind. But isn't it so coincidental that when life happens, when you're going through life and you hit a road bump, or when something's going on, you hit a speed bump or a hurdle in your life, isn't it so funny how it's just coincidence that somebody from the old just happens to pop up? Somebody that you haven't talked to in years. Somebody that you lost communication with. But right then at that very moment, hey man, What's going on? Hey, I got a cold beer for you. Hey, come on over to my house and get it fixed. I see like you're going down. Hey, man, come on, let's talk and let's just shoot the breeze and talk about the good old days. And see, we want to try to return to that old person, but we've got to remember that as followers of Christ, we are no longer that old person. That person is dead. That person no longer exists, but now we are new in Christ and we are leaving it all behind. So followers of Christ, leave it all behind. Looking at number two for today, followers of Jesus. Number two, live sacrificially. That's another one of those, oh man, I should have gone to Calvary Chapel today, Pastor Luke. No, let me give you the critical difference. When I say followers of Christ, leave it all behind, I'm speaking to the life and everything behind. So as you progress in life, imagine that there is a trail or a train of things, of memories, of events, of accolades, of failures in your life. And as you follow Christ, you say, I will cut the tie right here. And as I move forward, that no longer follows me. That is no longer my identity. That is leaving it all behind. The difference now between leaving it all behind and living sacrificially is looking forward, saying there are things in my life that now I will give up because God has asked me to. There are things in my life that I will sacrifice on a continual basis, that I will give up, not just in my past, but in my future, because the plan or the will of God for me is to go this way and not that. So we are not only to call to leave our past behind, but also to live a sacrificial life continually, day after day, giving up ourselves, our will. That's why in our prayer we say, not our will, but yours be done, because God's desire for us is a sacrificial life. In Romans in the 12th chapter, Romans in chapter number 12, verse number 1, Paul the Apostle speaking to the church says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What an amazing statement here Paul the Apostle says. You remember in Hebrews that it says, by a new and living way, Jesus Christ consecrated us. That we have access. Why? Because Jesus came and he gave a sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice of death. He was nailed to the cross and died for our sins. But you see, it was a new and living way. Why? Because on the third day, he rose again with life from power on high. And Jesus now is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So we live a life of a living sacrifice, which means we may have to put to death our flesh, but we don't have to die to life. Why? Because we have been given life not in the flesh, not in the world, not in our desires, but now we have been given life by Jesus Christ to no longer thirst, to no longer hunger for the things, but rather go after the life of Jesus Christ and to live it more abundantly. So it is a sacrifice that we lay down our lives, but in return we receive life at the same time. A living sacrifice. Paul the Apostle goes on and says, which is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's a whole message on its own of reasonable service unto God. God did this for you. You have accepted the gift of salvation. Now, in return, you are to live a living sacrifice, a life of continual giving towards God. When we had our firstborn, Bjorn, we have 10 nephews and one niece, just on mom and dad, Pastor Jim's side of the family, just between my three sisters, 10 nephews and one niece. So when we had our firstborn child, unbeknownst to us, everybody in my family had saved everything for us. So it's like we came home with the baby and it was like, back the truck up, open the garage and dump it all in. All right, everybody was like, I got room in my attic, I got room in my closet, it's all yours now. And part of that, we inherited clothes, we inherited toys. And Stacy and I, we're the kind of personality, we have a hard time giving away or giving up or throwing away things that were given to us because we see that there was a value in that gift. So we have been collecting all these clothes and all these toys. And so we started putting all the toys in a closet. We call it the toy closet. And it literally became like you see in the cartoons or in the comic books. You know, you open the door and it's like this tidal wave of toys that just spill out. It's supposed to be the coat closet of our house, and you can't put a coat in there because it would just be toys flooding out. So we finally just said, all right, we're fed up with this. We can't handle this. We give all the kids all the toys they want, and then go and play with a water bottle anyways. So we got some trash bags and we got the toys together and we started putting them in bags. And we said, hey, listen, we're going to give them away. We're going to give them to people that need them. We'll take some of them to Goodwill. We'll take some of them to the church where the church can give them away to the kids that needs them. And so we have all these toys laid out in bags. And I remember my three-year-old boy comes up and he says to us, as he sees, as you know, you think of the life of a three-year-old, he sees toys and trash bags, not good. So he says, Dad, what are you doing? So we sit him down. We say, Bjorn, you know, you have so many toys that you don't play with. And there are kids around this world that don't have anything to play with. And don't you think that we should take some of your toys and give them away and give them to kids that have need? And you can make them happy and they can play with your toys. And he was like, okay. And so he said, why don't you help us? And so go in your closet and you pick out five of your toys. And we'll put it in the bag and we'll give it away to the kids and you can know that you've made somebody happy. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, how cute. Man, Pastor Luke and Pastor Stacy, they're teaching their kids the ways of God. Their kids have such a tender heart. Jesus says that you must enter in as the kingdom of God. Let me set your mind at ease. My son did not come back with five of his favorite toys. He came back with five broken or unused toys. He came back with the set that a three-month-old would play with, not what a three-year-old would want to play with, and said, here, Dad, give him this. You see, the thing is, though, in our lives, when it comes to sacrifice, it's easy to give up things that we don't care much about. It's easy to say, God, well, you know what? You can have this area of my life. God, you can have this area of my life. God, I'll give this to you over here, but this over here, hey, this is a little bit too close. This is off limits. This is where I'm. Don't come over here in this area. This is mine. Well, you see, God's desire for us is to live a living sacrifice, to give up in our lives what needs to be given up, so that we can serve God effectively and that we can have life according to God's will and according to God's way in our lives, because we are followers of Jesus, leading us into the presence of God Almighty. So we've got to learn to live a sacrificial life. Number three for this morning, followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus. This is where it starts to get a little bit more of an amen instead of oh me, so you can take a deep breath, all right? Followers of Jesus, number three, always stay focused on Jesus. Always stay focused on Him. Have you ever been at a job or at training somewhere when somebody's teaching you how to do something? Hey, I'm going to give you the skills or I'm going to show you how to do this. You've got to watch. You've got to keep your eyes on them. You've got to listen to what they're saying and what they're telling you. Why? Because there's going to be a day when you will have to do what they showed you how to do. And if you don't keep your eyes on them, if you don't pay attention, if you're not fixed on what they're telling you, when it comes time, you'll miss out. And as followers of Jesus, we have got to stay focused, to remain fixed on Jesus. As mankind, as humanity, we get so easily ensnared or get so easily wrapped up in things around us. Well, I'm following Jesus, but that person over there is getting more blessed than I am. So guess what? I'll start looking at what they're doing. Or I'll start looking at over here as churches. On the bigger picture, we say, well, they over there, they've got the lights and the mirrors and the smoke, or they sing this type of a song, or they do this, or they do that. We should do what they're doing because God is moving on them. But God is saying all along, my desire is not for you to follow man, to look at what they're doing or to the left, to the right, to get so easily entrapped or so easily wrapped up in the things around us, but rather to not follow man, but to follow the man, Jesus Christ, who is leading us into the presence of God. We have got to remain fixed. That's why the Bible tells us, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due time we'll see it, we'll receive if we don't lose heart. Why? Because we don't look to the left or we don't look to the right. We don't worry about what's going on. We keep our eyes fixated on Jesus Christ because that is where our destination is ahead of us, the presence of God. And that is what gives us the assurance to go into the presence of God. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were on vacation. And we were in Mammoth Lakes up in the mountains, and there's about 9 or 10 different lakes in the basin right there where you can go and you can rent boats or you can just go fishing on the shore or just hang out and whatever it was. So the whole family decided to get together, and we're going to go caravan to one of these lakes for the day. We're going to have a picnic and hang out and let the kids maybe try to rent a boat from one of the marinas. Well, it was a weekend afternoon, so in the middle of the afternoon on a weekend in the lakes basin, it was crowded. You couldn't go anywhere. It was traffic jams up in the mountains because everybody congregates to the same place. And so here we were, my white truck, Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess's van, my sister's SUV, and there we were driving in a line in a caravan. And we would stop into one parking lot of one marina to see if there was room. And we would all wait, and somebody would jump out. Okay, there's no, we go to the next one and stop and wait. And so finally, we pull into this one marina. And there's parking spots everywhere. So I pull in. I'm the last one in the caravan. I'm the last one, the last car. I pull into the first parking spot. They're driving. I say, oh, there's a parking spot. They're looking for a close one. So my wife and I and our kids, we're sitting in the car waiting, hanging out, waiting for somebody to come knock on our window, say, hey, we got a boat, or we're going to have lunch right here, or we're going to go sit down right here by the lake and hang out. After about five or 10 minutes, we're like, hey, nobody's knocked on our window. So I get out of the car, I look around, I don't see anybody's car parked here. So we get out, we start driving around, we get totally lost. We start driving to every lake in the basin. Where is everybody at? And the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, man, my family's ridiculous. They don't even care about me. They're such jerks. They just drove away. Who cares about what Luke's doing? He's gonna do his own thing. And I'm complaining, we're all mad. Stacy and I are starting to get at each other. Let's just go home, forget it. They can do their own thing. Finally, we pull over to a spot on the side of the road, and we get out, and you know, in the mountains, sometimes you have to, like, wave your phone around. Finally, I hear my chime, ding, it's my dad, where are you? I text him back, where are you? Hello. So they say, oh, we're parked here, so we know where they're at, so we finally get our way back there. I'm all mad, I'm at getting out of the car, slamming the door, looking at everybody, like, giving them that look, you know, thanks a lot, here we are, finally. Unbeknownst to me, as we drove, I pulled into a parking spot. I drive a white Toyota. As I pulled into a parking spot, a white Toyota pulled out of another parking spot and followed them. As they were driving down the road, there's another white Toyota. So they're looking in their rearview mirror like, hey, trains are rolling, let's keep on going. They pull into the parking lot, this little parking lot with like five spaces. The white truck pulls up right next to them and parks. They have no clue. All of a sudden, they realize Luke and Stacy aren't in that truck. We're fighting somewhere in the mountains. Why? Because we took our eyes off the caravan. We weren't leading. We were the caboose of the caravan, and we parked into our own parking spot saying, this is good. But you see, what happens in life is we pull into our own parking spots. God, I'm happy right here.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.